All right, can I have everybody's attention? We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can you please rise for the pledge? Chris, would you lead us, please? Okay, Laura, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Forcroy?
Here.
Director Millage?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Sesenia? President Ohilski?
Present, yes. Sorry, my red light's on the back side here, so I couldn't tell if it was on or not. Okay, so with that, we'll go ahead and go to item number two, which is the board officer election. Item A, the election of president and vice president. In regard to that item, I'd like to turn it over to General Manager Munns to have a few comments here before we move forward with that item, if I could.
So. Thank you, Mr. President. First, I wanted to go through what our board bylaws say about the elections, and then I have something to read that I worked with Director Cessna about. So the bylaw reads in Section 1.4, the board president and board vice president shall be elected annually at the first regular meeting of each calendar year. The board vice president shall become board president the following year after his or her election, barring a four-fifths vote to preclude such promotion. So Director Cessna and I had a meeting last week in which he expressed that he's indicated a desire to become the president, to move up from the vice president position for the upcoming year, but is proposing the change in officers be deferred until the next meeting he is able to attend and that the current officers continue in their roles. It went on to say, this proposal would allow for Director Cessna to step into the president position as prescribed by the bylaws and appoint committee chairs and vice chairs, with the exception of the ad hoc committee on bylaws, which needs to be appointed today, and Director Cessna has agreed will consist of himself and Director Ohilski. At the same board meeting, we would elect the new vice president. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the board and President Ohilski for comments.
Okay, thank you. I also had discussions with Director Cessna about this very issue. And he's unfortunate that he's not unable to attend tonight, but he would like to be here when we elect the vice president. So that's why he's asking that we do that. So unless you guys have any questions, I'll open it to public comment, and then we can take an action on it.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And is that letter available for the public?
This isn't a letter. It is a recount of a conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, now it's public record.
Sure.
So I think people who might have just come in would like to see your notes on that. If that's Chuck's wishes, I think your board should concur and hopefully support that decision, and we'll see y'all next month. Do it then.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. I don't think we need to do a secret ballot. Can we just have a motion and the vote?
Yes.
So if you guys would like to go along with Chuck's request, then can I have a motion and a second?
I move that we defer the election of officers, and in the meantime, was there something written that I was supposed to read? In the meantime, keep the current officers until Chuck is able to attend.
I second the motion.
Can I just have that include that the ad hoc committee, because we have to have the bylaw ad hoc committee.
With the exception of the bylaw ad hoc committee, which will consist of Chuck and Marshall.
Yep. Is that good? Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Okay. Should I take a roll call? Yeah, I guess I should. No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so I'll continue as the chair acting for this evening, and hopefully Chuck will be back next meeting. Okay, that brings us to the next item on our agenda, which is the presentation of the audit. Would you like to make an introduction?
As a matter of introduction, thank you. First off, I'd like to, before we get started, thank our staff for this year's audit, and that includes some of our past employees, Ann Kudart, Liz Radvansky, and Renee Osborne, and our current staff of Laura Jose, and our contract accountant, Adrian, who all did a wonderful job on pulling this audit together. Tonight, we have Mr. Alex Hom from Moss, Levy, and Heim to do an overview of the audit. Thank you.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Alexander Hom. I'm from Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim, and we gladly gave you guys an unmodified clean opinion. There was one finding. For credit cards, there was one. When we tested 25 credit card transactions, one didn't have an itemized receipt, and there was one instance of where there was only the cardholder's approval signature on it, only one instance. Other than that, everything looked good, and Adam told me to pass on that staff was very helpful, and it made everything smooth. Any questions regarding the audit?
Yeah, let me add on to that. We had a detailed presentation by Adam to the Financial Advisory Committee. And the Financial Advisory Committee did ask that one question about the credit card receipts, and it was just one receipt, as it turned out to be. The Financial Advisory Committee was very appreciative of the report and very, very supportive of it. We did have one comment at the Financial Advisory Committee about that I'll let Ron talk about if he wants to.
We had a comment about director's compensation. I was going to wait till Adam was back. He's on vacation this week. That's why Alexander's here with us tonight.
Right.
And we will ask him regarding director's compensation and how that was addressed in the audit.
Right. So that was what that. Anyway. So any questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment then on the auditor's report. I really appreciate the work that staff and the firm did.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I've seen when credit card receipts get lost. Now that everybody carries a cell phone with a camera, it's so simple to snap a picture of that receipt and keep that in your phone. And by the time you've done your paperwork processing, you still have a record of it. It's super handy. I do it myself at work. Just a thought and some advice. The audit doesn't say who approved their own charges, and I think that position should be identified. I was the one who asked about director's compensation and how that might have been overlooked as part of this audit and should have been pursued, because your board received a letter from the district attorney's office identifying and specifying exactly what is a compensatable meeting. And the analysis of director's compensation in the recent past hasn't been done by a third party and should be, so that we know exactly what funds should be returned to the district. And I can pretty much guarantee that a sizable amount of money should be coming back to the district, and that's where that third party would be respected by everyone. And so I would ask that the auditor look at that particular issue and make a recommendation on how the district can be more transparent with the reporting of directors' compensation. I have asked for a different way of accounting that money, and I don't know when that's going to start showing up in your board packets, but hopefully sooner as opposed to later. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, Linda. I can't see. I don't have my glasses on.
Good evening.
Lindy, hi.
Hi. My point, I totally agree with what Julie said. I think transparency is really important, and I don't see that I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to review things before, but I see under criteria you say that meal purchases and all purchases should be approved by appropriate personnel other than the purchaser, and I hope that's in the bylaws, and if it isn't, it definitely should be clarified so that you do not have an instance where a credit card holder was the only approval signature for their own purchase. So tightening these rules up, I think, will be a good thing for everybody. And director's compensation, it seems like all groups, all CSDs, et cetera, are starting to raise their compensations. But I also remind everyone that this is a little bit of a commitment, a community commitment, too. So I do not like to see them expanding or enlarging a whole lot unless it's certainly a matter. But to go to a 15-minute meeting and then get $100 just doesn't – that's not appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Oops, excuse me. Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Any additional questions, comments?
Can I make one comment in regards to having director's compensation, the transparency of director's compensation? We will start including all the forms that are filled out and submitted in our Finance Advisory Committee and board packets.
That's that's supposed to be something that we look at during the bylaw review, right? Also is how to change that accounting.
Yeah, that will be looked at in two regards. One, in the bylaw review, and then secondly, we're going to, subsequent to that, be doing a policy update and review. So that will be looked at in both of those areas. Okay. I guess that's it. All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your work. All right. With that, then, we'll go for public comment for items not on the agenda.
I'm Ron DeZuba, and I live on 16th Street. I was assigned to the Cambria Air Force Station in February 1976 and was a radar superintendent until I retired from the Air Force in March of 79. In July 79, I was hired as a GS-11 electronic technician by FAA at San Pedro Air Force Station, California. In August 80, I transferred to the Department of Defense Air Force at Point Arena Air Force Station, California, as a radar technician until November 1983, when I was promoted to the radar supervisor and security manager until the site closed in March 1997. I then retired with 38 years in the radar business, with over 25 years supervising, evaluating, and training both military and civil service employees. On 9th of October, my meter was read. A few days later, Alicia, your billing lady, noticed my compensation, my consumption went from 5 to 10 units between readings. An employee was sent out to check my meter and saw a continuous usage of meter of water and knocked on my rarely used main entrance, which is on the left side of my home, and the main door is kind of offset. Finding no one home, he hung a courtesy notice on my door and left. On 5 December, my neighbor, Chuck Cribbs, noticed water running along his driveway and notified my son and I that we had a leak a few feet from the motor, from the meter enclosure. We located and fixed the leak the same day. A day or two before Christmas, I received the bill for $2,022. I then went to the LOSD here, and my bill was adjusted to $1,068 because I had submitted an application for a leak adjustment credit. While I'm grateful for the reduction, I feel that a more comprehensive procedure on your meter readings and following actions, 133,000 plus gallons of water could have been prevented from being returned to the local aquifer. I've met with Jose Acosta and Ron Muntz and was told that all the LOCSD was obligated to do was hang a notice on my door. I made a suggestion to Alicia and suggested a follow-up phone call after hanging the notice, which would help. And she agreed and said that they would do that in the future. An email would also help. If the meter reader that checked my meter 9 October would have walked next door to Chuck Krebs, 30 feet from the meter, and knocked on his door and said, by the way, I'm sorry, what's that? Is my time up?
Your time's up, yes.
Well, I guess, excuse me, I'm 80 years old and a little slow here, so.
Well, I can give you another minute, but no more than that.
Thank you very much. Anyway, I've met with Jose and Ron, and they told me that you were only obligated to hang the notice on my door. If the meter reader would have went to my neighbor and knocked on the door and said, hey, is your neighbor home? He would have said, yeah, check that house right behind this one. He lives over there also because I own two homes. And the leak would have been fixed that day, not 57 days later when I found your notice on my door. You are not punishing me for not seeing your notice. I don't think that is fair. LOCSD could be doing more, not the mere minimum. As a past president and board member of Point Arena Lions Club, our motto is, we serve. LOCSD's motto should be, we serve to conserve. I think an average charge of my last 2 years, two-month usage would be satisfactory. I can't fix what I didn't know was leaking.
Thank you.
I've asked to be heard by your board next month. I'll leave my contact information with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lindy Owen again. This is the fourth one that I've heard of in the last 6 months, extreme leak activity that went unnoticed. I just urge us to be really looking into the flume. I know that that's on the agenda to think about, but I believe that that could be funded or should be partially funded by our conservation funds, because it not only would save a lot of money if it had a notification method, and I don't use a cell phone, so it's not perfect for me, but I believe that it's a direction we really should be going. I don't want to see any more of these leaks, and it's a really sad situation to have thousands of dollars of water bill all of a sudden when two-month billing doesn't allow you any chance in between. So thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker again, and I don't know if all of you got a postcard from the county or any kind of notification, or it's coming very short notice for a very important meeting a week from tonight at Monarch Grove Elementary School. This is a significant rate increase to the sewer users, and I think you all should be there. We all should be there to hear the county give us the spin that they're going to serve up in a 218 process. This is a lot of money. And I just am disappointed of the short notice. I think it's absolutely unprofessional. And, well, I'm going to be nice. So see you all there next Thursday.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Seeing that, we'll close that. Just one comment on the leak program. That's one of the things that we're going to be looking at in our policy update this year, because there's only so much that we can do under the current policy, or staff can do under the current policies, but that's an item that's on your agenda for the upcoming year. Okay, with that, then we'll go ahead and move to the fire department report.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Did we... Did we receive and file the audit? Did we need to do that?
Do we need to do that?
I think it was just a press.
Yeah,
just,
it. Well, just a press. It says recommend, receive, and file.
So. I just am making sure before we get too far along.
You can certainly...
Okay, let's go ahead. We'll backtrack then.
Okay, I make a motion that we receive and file the fiscal year 2018-2019 financial audit.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now, I apologize. Now we'll go to the fire department report.
Hi. Chief Wong is out of county on special assignment, so I'm going to give a very brief report tonight. I'm his assistant, Carrie. And in the month of December, we had a total of 130 calls. We're down 11% from last year, where we had 145 calls. 80 of those were medical aid. 7 of them were traffic collisions. 5 were reported as fires. 8 were reported as hazardous. We had 19 public assists and 11 false alarms. During the month of December, Chief Wong also worked to update the fire code, which he will be presenting at the next board meeting. And South Bay Station 15 participated in our annual Christmas parade where they gave Santa a ride around town. And that concludes our December report. Any questions?
Any questions? Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. We do not have any representative of the Sheriff's Department here, so we'll move straight to the Utilities Department report.
Good evening, Mr. President, Board of Directors, members of the community. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm your utility systems manager. This is the third month in a row I've done that. I apologize. The report for tonight will be for the month of November 2019, and we'll start with the water production information. The total water produced for the month of November 2019 was approximately 13.6 million gallons. This equates to approximately 455,000 gallons per day. And this represents a decrease in production from last year by approximately almost 2%. Using the state's formula to calculate the residential usage per capita, for the month of November, our residential customers used 60.3 gallons per day per person. And that's a decrease from 61.4 gallons per day per person of last year. Right below this, you could see the production and runtime hours by well site. And also listed is the change from last year compared to this year, both in million gallons produced and also the electric consumption run hours. The water billing information. For the month of November, we billed for approximately 12.12 million gallons of water, and that generated approximately $218,000 in revenue for that period. The utility department operations and maintenance updates, the operators continued doing their monthly meter reading. We did a service line upgrade at 1405 17th Street, continued the meter changeout program. 80 meters were changed out during that month. And speaking to Frank, our water resource crew leader, we're almost complete with the whole system as far as the 5/8 and 3/4 inch meters, the smaller meters, and we'll be 100% from the 2014 meter changeout program that we started. We did a service line and meter upgrade at 1964 7th Street, and we performed follow-up work from the leak detection program that was completed in September. During that program, I reported that there was approximately 12 leaks found in the distribution system and several leaks on the customer side. Each one of those leaks has been repaired with the exception of one where we're going to do a whole line replacement. Each leak had approximately 2 gallons per minute leak, so you're looking at about 24 to 30 gallons per minute from those leaks that we'll hopefully be conserving from this point forward. We also assisted the contract with the repair work that was completed on our 10th Street tank, where we had to replace a hatch, do some internal painting and cleaning, and also some exterior work on the ladders and entry hatches. We completed a survey of our water facilities for SCADA recommendations. We had a contractor come in who did a walkthrough with our operators to see what our wants and needs are for our SCADA upgrade. SCADA upgrade is a monitoring program that allow us to monitor our wells, control the wells remotely, and also our reservoir sites as well. So we had that completed as well for that month. Right below, you can see the rainfall totals for this year. We have about 3.82 inches of rain so far through the month of November. We've had some rain through December, not too much this month, but hopefully we catch up. That concludes my report. Before I conclude my report, I just want to say, I know the sheriff aren't here, but I'd like to say hopefully the sheriff, local sheriff and law enforcement had a good safe day today. Today is local law enforcement recognition day, and so I hope that they had a safe and good day as well. So that concludes my report. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
And not that it's a problem, but I'm just curious. It looks like the runtime hours are more, even though the water consumption is less, or the water production is less.
If you look at the report, what it is you have South Bay wells, lower and upper wells, mm-hmm. which produce less water, but they run longer.
Okay.
So
that's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
General Manager's report, Mr. Munns.
Thank you very much. Just quickly, we've been working with a consultant to do the Farrell Street Pathway biological assessment. We have I reviewed the draft, and we have submitted that to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for an opinion for no take for the Pathway project. I think as we, Matthew and I, reported last meeting, we're going to put the Pocket Park on hold. Especially since now that we've found snails on that piece of property. Along those lines, Matthew, Director Forcoy, and I met with Wallace Group to initiate some work on a preliminary design of the future dog park. Matthew Parker from Wallace Group is volunteering 8 hours of his time to do a preliminary design. That's part of Wallace Group's community service program they have for their employees. So we're looking forward to seeing that maybe in the next week or so prior to our Parks and Rec meeting. On the basin management front, we did have a basin management committee on December 18th, which was Rob Miller's last day as executive director. Very interesting, though, the topics covered were the updates on basin projects, an agreement with MPAN Engineering to... And a very interesting report from Spencer Harris on the lower aquifer nitrate and chloride trends. And finally, discuss some of the 2020 priorities and budget. There is a meeting coming up next week, Basin Management Committee meeting.
Yep. Wednesday the 15th at 1:30.
Right.
And at South Bay Community Center.
And we will be talking more about budget and...
the work program for the upcoming year.
Yes, very good. And we continue to work at the staff level to help support the Basin Management Committee directors. And finally, we had a great holiday celebration here, which was paid by staff on December 19th, and everyone attended, even the fire crew.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the Baywood, Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report, which I'm giving as the president of the chamber. So just a few items I want to go over. We had our Christmas tree lighting, which was on Friday, December 13th, which was a very good event. I want to thank Mr. Kreiser for bringing us a tree and bringing it out for our little Charlie Brown tree, which those of you who don't know, we have planted a tree, which is still kind of teeny, so we're going back to bringing in imported trees until our tree gets bigger. So I want to thank Mr. Kreiser for that. And then the parade was on the following day, Saturday the 14th, with needs and wishes. I know Richard will give us a report on needs and wishes when he's here next time, but I heard that that event went very, very well. So then upcoming for the chamber, On the 24th, we have our installation and our recognition of the Citizen of the Year and Business of the Year and Volunteer of the Year. That will be held on January 24th. If you're interested in attending, and I would encourage everybody to attend, you can go to the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce website, and there's information there on getting tickets to that event. But it's a very, very nice event, and we have dinner served. And so That's the end of the chamber reports. Anybody have any questions for me? Okay, any outside reports, attendance that we need to be given? Oh, I know it was the holidays, so. All right, the next one is the appointment by board president of the ad hoc committee to review and board bylaws. We already did that, so I'm appointing myself and Chuck as the bylaw committee. We'll be reporting back next month with our bylaw updates, our recommended bylaw updates. This is an annual process that we go through every year. We did that already, so I don't need to. I'll just reappoint myself and Director Cicina if I need to. Response to previously asked questions. Do we have anything at this time, Ron?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. So does anybody want to pull any of the items on the consent agenda? Oh, wait. I forgot the Financial Advisory Committee. Let me. Okay. We did have our committee meeting, and the committee did recommend that the board receive and file the warrants and the financial reports that are on your consent agenda, and that was done unanimously by the FAC. Okay, does anybody want to pull anything on the consent agenda?
No.
Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and take public comment on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker again, just a couple of things. With the fire chief's report, Chief Wong has updated the fire code. Is the emergency services committee going to be looking at that? That's what we used to do. I don't like seeing the Palisades well ticking up on its pumping, as you know. So see what we can do less of that. And I would just reiterate the finance committee did ask that the auditor look at compensation. So I look forward to that.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment on this items? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for action. Any questions, comments? Well, can we have a motion, please?
Sure. I move that we receive and file the reports and approve the minutes and warrant register.
Approve the consent agenda as stated?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's easier.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I don't think we have any resolution, so we can do a voice vote. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, passes unanimously. Okay, we have general action items number 8. I understand that one of those items is being pulled. Is that correct?
Yes, it is 8B. Okay. And we'll continue that to our February meeting.
Okay. All right, so then we'll move on to item 8A, which is customer dispute regarding high water bill at 1539 9th Street. Los Osos. So can we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you very much. In November, the Altons received a high bill for 50 units of water, which equates to $571.25. Their normal usage ranges from 7 to 12 units. The district procedures are, once we do receive our high-low report and a high read comes in, we do send someone out within a day or two to verify the read and leave a courtesy door hanger notifying the customer of the higher than usual water use. Our follow-up investigation confirmed the meter read was correct, indicating that the water had passed through the meter. The Altons contacted district staff and a work order was then generated to have water crews read the meter 3 times over a week period. The results showed that the water usage was back within historical range and no leaks were apparent or evident during this period of time. So there was no clear indication to explain where the water went or how it was used. This type of situation is difficult since there really is no explanation where the water went. Typically, toilet leaks or an irrigation could be a cause, but again, in this case, we don't know what happened. I want to remind the board, meters are a mechanical device that typically register less water as they age, not more, and that they don't typically fluctuate given pressure fluctuations in the system. So basically I'm saying they remain static and record water that flows through. The district's policy is only to provide a billing adjustment for water loss from leaks associated with the customer's water line, which is from the meter to the house. In this case, the issue is unexplained high water use. So alternatively, it's at the board's discretion if some sort of adjustment can be made under these types of situations. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
And we do have the Oltons here
right.
To make comment.
Okay. So can we have your comment here? Introduce yourself for the record, please.
Actually, my name is Michael Shires. This is my wife, Christine Alton. We're just basically baffled as to how we're pretty conservative in our water use, and I'm pretty vigilant about, you notice when toilets are running, if there was a leak in the yard, like the gentleman first, I mean, he noticed a leak in his yard. We're talking 30,000 gallons of water in a spike that we're trying to figure this out. How could that have happened with not us noticing it? We would have either seen a flooded bathroom, a flooded yard, or something to that, So we're just trying to figure this out. We never left the house. We've been here the last 2 months, didn't go on vacation or anything like that. So we're just mystified to how this could happen.
And just to add to that, I brought this handy little thing that I got. So we had a major spike there in November. And the thing is, I know you only go back a year. I've been in that home for almost 30 years. I raised two boys there. We had a lot of water going on, a lot of showers. We did an addition. Never have I had a spike like this. And so it's an extra $427, 30,000 gallons of water. And somehow I put that blue stuff in the toilets. I checked everything. There was no leaks. There was no hoses outside, inside. Why didn't we see the water? Where was it? And then the other thing is, if we had seen, we never did see anything, and why didn't it continue? Why was it just that one spike? That's my question. I would love it if the board could look back at all my records. It's probably too much time consuming. But anyway, so that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll close it, bring it back to the board. I think what we've done in the past few meetings may be something that we want to consider again. And as I mentioned before, our policies only allow staff to do so much. So this is really a board decision at this point. So,
yeah, I think we should take the same approach that we took. I think that was in November, and issue the leak adjustment credit. Just implore them to keep an eye on that, because the water went through the meter. It went somewhere. So we got to figure out where that is. And because of sand, it kind of goes down.
So you're going to make a motion then?
I move that we
grant them a credit for...
Yeah, grant them a leak adjustment credit for this.
Okay, any more discussion? So we go back to their normal billing rate is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll apply the adjustment formula that we use for this type of situation.
Right. Okay. All right. So all in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimously. Okay, future agenda items. I think we'll wait until Chuck gets back to do that. You're welcome. And then any closing board comments?
I do. I have one comment. I just wanted to thank Jennifer Ferrangi. She's worked on our Parks and Rec Committee for the last few years. She sent me her letter of resignation. This week, and I just wanted to thank her, and she did a lot of great work for Parks and Rec. She definitely was the engine behind the rubber chip removal, and that was a huge effort, so I really wanted to thank her. I'd also like to ask that next meeting we agendize an appointment, because I have someone to appoint in her.
We will do that for sure. Okay, thank you. Then with that, we'll be adjourned.